Blog Talk Radio.
Motherfucker.
I'm here once more to spew into the internet meaningless nonsense, complete utter absurdities, and lots of profanity, or is it profanity? I just came to share today the inquiring sage, or in this case, the other livestock just like you. Hope you can hear me. I don't trust my equipment, but we'll hope. I have so much on my mind I want to abuse you with today. Things I've seen, things I've observed, and I'm fascinated, as always. And there's two questions, just like one you see if you were to see this. Do you know where you are? That's the first, because it's important, sort of. It's important to know where you are, and it's so hard to know where you are, so tricky, because it's interwoven, right? There's an interwovenness, I'll use that word, because it's words, right, to say what is, where are we, is very meta. It keeps us asking the same questions for thousands of years. But what's what? Because we know. We know as well. Because it's not a knowing, like a descriptive. That's what we're given, is narratives and descriptives of here's what it is, here's what it means, here's what life is, here's what it means. Here's what this is. Here's a cup. This is what it means. And the meaning, of course, is, as some philosopher would say, is defined by its use, right? So we create this discourse, this thought system that says this is what this is, and whatever that isn't in it doesn't exist. It doesn't compute. If you watched the HBO Westworld, when people, the androids, didn't see something, they'd say, it doesn't look like anything to me, when it wasn't in their programming. And that's, again, that metaphor for how our consciousness works. Consciousness is a disconnected, filtered state of experiencing the immediate. Because when we experience the immediate, we do it with a without psychology. We do it without meaning, right? There's no thinker in the thought. There's just the direct experiencing, a sort of unknowing of the known, as some mystics would say. And that's where we always are. Right? We're always experiencing. But then we're told, with our many filters and mediations, well, this is what that experience means. I always think of as a child when someone gave me a gift and I didn't think much of it or didn't really understand why they were giving it to me, but I was trained, to be thankful. Oh, thank you. Even though I had no concern or care for what was being provided, but I was told to be thankful, to be humble, to be appreciative that the thought that counts, that someone would take that time and energy to provide something that I need or didn't need. But when I didn't know how to act or what to think, I would then, of course, observe and watch and practice what other people did, right? That's how we're trained. And we would say, oh, that's what we do in our basic sense of things too, which I would beg to differ maybe. When we directly experience, we're experiencing the what is, right? So I think what we have done in our training in civilization with the filters and mediation is say everything must be like that, which is what we do. We say we as another philosopher would say, that knowledge and power are interwoven. They're one and the same, right? So we put that framework on top of it and say, this is reality. This is meaning. This is morality. This is what exists. Anything outside of that, it isn't anything. So wherever, forever, marooned, living through these mediations, these filters, these lenses that say this is what is. And it captures us. We're marooned here. It's powerful. It tells us where we are without ever telling us where we are, because we're left in all these different fantasies, but all one fantasy, right? Disconnected. We're built for us a psychology, social psychology, that says this is where you are. And that's where you are. But yet I think in our experiencing we can see that sense in the most basic way that something isn't right here. I don't mean that in a moral sense, but we sense that there's something amiss, that these layers of meta-experiencing, of beyond our senses, of these filters and mediations, sense of imposing power on others. One of my professors said, we do two things in this dimension, is impose and possess. Right, that's perhaps a consequence of consciousness, of creating a reality. And hence we have its offspring, civilization, this manifestation of whatever it is, right, where we're here in these city-states, marooned in these countries, in these zoos for humans, and we of course can see what we do to the living world, which is us too, and here we are in this Leviathan, as Thomas Hobbes would call it, that we are the Leviathan consuming everything. And so that's that basic but most important question, and it's, you don't answer it in you can, but you left with a narrative, right? So in every narrative, is a way to say, oh, this is what is. This is what is. And then someone says, no, it's not that way. So if I say we're in a concentration camp, which is the concentration of humans in these cities, civilization, to be used and abused by the powerful, you say, no, we're not. No, no, no. We all have choice. We have freedom. We get to choose, right? We get to choose our politicians. We get to choose our economic systems. We have all created these ways of organizing. But that where I would then say maybe organization, again, is that another offspring of consciousness. And we can see after 10,000 years, time, again, being another construct, you know, 10,000 years of a rape murder fest of, you know, right out of the Bible, right, out of all the different scriptures, it's just a rape murder fest in the name of ideas, ideologies, lies, belief, we believe, so then we construct, and then we tear down, and we think there's something better, and we follow this hamster in the wheel. And we're captured in it. And then when you challenge it, you question it, you negate it, and you're left with nothing. Because then that's how they create the problem-solving thought trap, the paradigm shift. So if you attack a paradigm or you're like, oh, my God, this paradigm is just so anomalous, we have to shift into another paradigm. We put another fantasy, a degree of shift, to another fantasy. So it's not religion, it's science. Science is the new religion. Now it's not just sciences. We don't believe science, we believe in technology. No, no, not technology, the autocrats. No, no, not them, you know, these fascists or ideologues or whomever is spewing the narrative. One's good, one's bad. The right's bad, the left's good, the left is bad, the right is good, you know, these ideas are good, Catholicism, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Zoroastrianism, Sikhism, all they're the best. So there we are. We're in all these narratives saying, well, how do I break free? How do I this? How do I that? How do I live well? Social media, they call it, which is just media, of everybody's an expert telling us how to live. Everybody's telling us, you know, and selling us their products to say, hey, this is the best way to live. This is the best way to exercise. Even books that totally show you how horrific civilization is. All they can come up with is the same nonsense of a paradigm shift to say, okay, well, how do we make a better zoo, a better, more just zoo, as if we've ever seen in human civilized history just power, right? We've never, you know, it's that, and that's been the debate for thousands of years, is how do you have a just, balanced organization that governs, right? So everything is fair, equitable, and our values of, which are fantasy, all of it is fantasy. And this is that awareness of where are we? Where are you? It's not a psychological question. And that's hard. That's the hard part, because we have so many layers of psychology imposed in us. It's just layered into us, just carved into us. And again, think about how generationally we've been domesticated so profoundly over these millennium, and where we are. And again, where are we is nowhere. There's nothing to this. And that's why nihilism is such a threat, because it takes every ideology, every narrative, and negates it and leaves us with nothing. And so then we say in our psychology, we're like, oh, if I don't have identity, of what I think of as connection, again, that thinking of, that layer of meaning that says, how can I be happy if I have no meaning? Or how can I feel connected? See, it's that always this external world that says I am. That training that says if I don't have a thought system to ground myself in, then I'm filled with horror and sorrow and depression. Because we can't live in a void, we say, but it's not a void, right? Is it a void? What is a void? Nothingness. But nothingness doesn't negate experiencing, because there's nothing to negate. It's that experiencing of stubbing your toe, or there's a tiger over there, but you are the tiger and the tiger is you, but that response to it is the immediate experiencing. We always are experiencing. That's perhaps the only affirmative thing we could say. There's the immediate, a breath, but not, how do I feel when I breathe, right? Because then we can play mindfulness games and go like, are you present? Are you present enough? And then it becomes, again, the nonsensical narrative game, right? The discursive formations, as the philosopher would say. And in that, we can see when we form, we create those formations of, they become, again, repetitive and we're stuck. So some have said the way to escape it is to let go. You know, let go. And can you let go? I don't know. There's nothing to know. If thought is a stream and it's just running through your so-called mind, it just is what it is. It's nothing. So do we give it power, all that nonsense of this game, you know? It's there's awareness. We see in our awareness, and in seeing, there you are. So then you can know without knowing, without having to name it or call all the different things they want you to call, to play the game. You don't have to. But we know where we are. We know in that sense, deep sense of knowing, basic, immediate. I know when I walk into a fence, and that's the game we're taught. That's the training to not see the fences anymore, to not see the concentration camp, to not see the death squads. No. These people aren't death squads. They're there to protect and serve you. Right? But it's a lie. And you see the lie. You see all of the lies. All of it. It's all a lie. And so then, in that awareness, we are where we are. And then we can ask the other question. Because once we see it, we see. To what extent do we remain attached to this society that we despise, that I despise? Because it's easy to see what's happening, and there is nothing but to just see the horror of it, and how we are just focus on yourself. Just go buy stuff. Go be happy. Go travel. Go fulfill your bucket list so you can be fulfilled. Go read some life-affirming memes. Go feel good. Take your pills. Get high. Drink yourself to death. Pell. Rebel. And that is the question. And there's no way to tell somebody how. There's nobody can tell me. They can compare me and say, you're not this, you're not that, you're not, and I can do the same. We can just sit there and say, like, well, you're a terrible anarchist. No, you're a terrible nihilist. You're a terrible anarcho-nihilist. You're a terrible anti-civ person. You should X. No, I don't. I think we have to know where we are, not think it, see it, and see, and see. Bear witness and act. Organize, do all those things. Great, do it. But there's knowing where we are and not thinking that there's some problem that we can solve, because there isn't. Because what's clear is how fucked we are. And see, that we hate that so much because it doesn't give us some silver lining, some narrative like in a movie, because we live in the meta of the narrative. We have to defeat the bad guy because we're the good guy, of course. We don't want power. We don't want to abuse power. If we had power, we'd be just. But we all say that who don't have power, right? Because if we were in the position of the powerful, we would do exactly what they do, which is covet it. Because that's what institutions do, systems. When you create systems, and if you look at systems theory, it's obvious that systems do one thing and one thing only once you create them, is work to keep themselves alive. That's it. Not if it's all the lies of the system. It's, we have to organize, we have to be this way, we have to do this, we have to do that. But the system is only concerned with its own existence. Which, are we extensions of that? Absolutely. Are we not? We say all the stuff, we care, blah, blah, blah. But we know, we sense it, that we're really marooned here at the mercy of all the power in our human farms, human zoo. And if we're not being supported, then we know we're not being supported. And that's the thing, is we have this dependency we have to have. Because when all the powerful have all the food and water, what does that mean? We want to be them. We want the food and water too. And so they say, oh, that's why you need, if there's no Leviathan, no powerful, then everybody would just consume everything. And that's why anarchy is bad. Because we just, again, have the overlay of civilization on everything. And without civilization, our masters, then without the masters, we would just consume one another. Well, if that was true, then the human so-called species would have never survived. But that's why we terribleize tribalism. But at the same time, we don't have any clue what it is, because we can't connect to it, because it's not an idea. It's a sense we already have with us all the time, and it's not something that you can pretend or act. So, yeah, today I'm an animist. That's pretending. That's the actor. And that's why Shakespeare said all the world is a play. All the world is a stage, and we're actors. I'm an actor. Are you entertained by my content? Give me money, and I'll talk some more if I entertain you. What if I make you feel bad? That's still entertaining. You love to feel bad, just like you love to feel good, because good is bad and bad is good. As long as I'm entertaining you. Are you having fun? You're like, no, I'm bored to tears. That's why nobody listens to you, you idiot. Yes. Cancel it. Oh, censor it. Accuse it. Don't be a man. Don't be a woman. All women are men, because that's all that's left, is that monster. There's no difference, gender nonsense. How do I be? Can I too pretend? Oh, you already are. Whatever you wear, it's still pretend. That self, that mask, it's pretend. Well, then who are you? Nothing. No one. Then you're a threat. Well, compared to what? compared to what? Mental health. No such thing here in civilization, because there is no mind. Just thoughts, belief, the lie. Do you feel better? Why would you? We are marooning ourselves on land, just like the whales. There's no why here. There's no why. And we can see that they seek to condition, to kill us, to exploit us. All that we venerate and celebrate is designed to keep us enslaved. Give us your submission, and we'll give you the comfort that you need. That you need. We'll fulfill your needs, the hierarchy of needs. Let us shape you. Not even let us. We will shape you, or you will be exterminated. Exterminated. We're all there at the gate. We're all there waiting for our shower. It might just take longer, but it's not a shower. We are poisoned. Our air is poisoned. Our water is poisoned. And they're like, no, it's fine. Our food, poisoned. Junk. No, it's fine. Just be happy. Eat a whole food plant-based diet. Yeah, but there are no whole foods left. I'll just try. It's your fault. It's your fault you get cancer. Of course, there's no such thing as cancer. It's an idea. We're like, well, yeah, it's that huge abscess in your gut. Created narrative. Death, life, fantasy. You feel better? Don't you want to be happy? And there's a starkness to that awareness. But there's something, you know, there's something to that, right? There's something to that immediate, that even in hell, there's a joy to the what is, the experiencing of what is. There's a joy. I call it that because there's no such thing. It's just there's a something there we can act, that we're accessing always anyway. Some have tried to describe it as the source or something walking inside us, or how we're overlaid of the forbidden dimensions we're not to see, that we are always connected with everything. And I think we can sense that. We sense that always, endlessly, because there is no time. Right? Something, we sense it. It's always there underneath with us. So we say, do you know where you are? Do you know where you are?